It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the UGA Sports Live Podcast here at Champy's on Baxter Street. My name is Roddy DeBulsey. I'm your host for the next hour. I'm joined by Jake Roos, the grand poobah of recruiting news for the University of Georgia. And, of course, Jim Donnan, former Georgia head coach and purveyor of all things football knowledge related. So we have a coach here. He's going to break down the South Carolina game and what we can expect maybe from Middle Tennessee State. Jake will give us some recruiting updates. I will continue to drink beer and eat food. And
you just sit over there and look pretty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, somebody's got to look good on the show, and that's me. quick shout-out to our sponsors, Athens Ford, of course, one of our biggest sponsors, great folks there. I'll tell you more about their deals later in the show. Your Pie, if you're not here at Champy's having this wonderful grilled chicken salad.
With the homemade ranch.
Yeah, they do make all their
all the sauces
here. That Sweet Heat, I think Jake would just drink it out of a pint glass.
Shoe.
Yeah, a shoe. Or a shoe. Of course, if you're not here enjoying this great salad or having some of the fried chicken, swing by Your Pie. And if you really want to make a lot of money, open up a Your Pie franchise. If you like being rich, that's one way to do it. Of course, Academia, the Athens Academia Brew Company. They make fantastic beer and the fantastic food. So if you're coming in town this week, be sure to stop by there. And, of course, we are drinking their IQ IPA and their Honey Blonde. I have the Honey Blonde. He's got the IPA. We will talk about them later in the show, of course. And big shout-out to Aaron Overhead Doors. They finally gave us a sign, so you can see their logo there.
Get my big noggin out of the
way. Get your head out of the way. You need to slide over towards me so everybody can see it. So big shout-out to Aaron Overhead Doors. I went out there. They actually bought a new 250
from Athens Ford.
From Athens Ford. So, see, we're quite the little family here. So, of course, Cable East, Robert Wall out in Statham. Thanks for being a sponsor of the show. And if you need gear for next week or this week, check out 365 Game Day online. It's 365gameday.com. Click on Georgia. And, of course, we're on the 11 Alive Facebook page. The 11 Alive does a lot of good stuff for UGA Sports. They put us on the air, even though it probably kills their ratings. But if you get a chance, go ahead and just like their Facebook page. They do fantastic work, especially when it comes to high school football. Of course, they cover the Georgia Bulldogs like nobody else, but if you really want to see some great high school stuff, Coach, you were looking for scores the other day, check out the 11 Alive Facebook page. They'll have it for you. All right, let's jump right into it. This past Saturday, the Dogs go into Columbia, South Carolina, and whip. I mean, there's no other way to say it. They whip the Gamecocks. They just drubbed them, leaned on them. Coach, I could not get over the difference halftime made. Because I was down, I came out a little bit late. I was having a little camera issue at halftime when I came out. Georgia was about to score. Mecole punches it in. And then they score on the next two drives. Despite losing their starting left tackle for the game, Andrew Thomas, when he went down, I could not get over the difference between the first half and the second half. What happened?
In a game like this with so much build-up, CBS game, everybody talking about last year, what's Georgia going to be like and all. I think first half we were kind of feeling them out on offense and couldn't get any rhythm and really couldn't make a lot of first downs and had the one turnover. So, but we're kind of playing a little conservative knowing that our defense has started out. Anytime you get out a 14-0 lead like that and get a defensive score, sometimes you maybe let up a little bit and psychologically. I don't know if that happened or not, but the main thing was the second half came out and exerted the dominance. And I think it all started in the summer, the way our team worked out, the way they prepared, the conditioning that they did, knowing that they were going to be in a hot environment that was extremely hot based on what everybody says. So I think the main thing for us is just that take care of business type approach went in there and we're a very physical team. I think South Carolina was no question outmanned, and they came into the game figuring they had to throw the ball to win. They started out the game in an empty formation and really didn't try to run the ball at all in the first half. So I think overall just a very convincing game. It started out with the kickoff into the end zone and continued throughout the game. Our kicking game continues to be outstanding. And, you know, it's the kind of game that we talked about last week on our show here that we needed to get over with from the standpoint, don't let something negative happen and lose a game to a team you should beat and get that momentum going and going into the next four games where you can really build on everything and improve and work on all your opponents and do all the things you do getting ready for the rest of the season. So in a capsule, I just think it was a very physical game where he didn't make many mental errors, you know, not many physical errors either. So it was a complete domination as far as taking care of business after, you know, really a couple things happened in the first half to make it a little different.
I'm curious, were either of you surprised by how it went down? I mean, Roddy, I'm guessing you were because you didn't pick Georgia to cover the spread.
I didn't either this week. Well, you guys
to be
worried
fair,
about the spread.
But I mean, were you surprised at how at the outcome of the game? I mean, the level to which Georgia really dominated and controlled the game.
You know, anybody could sit back and say, I told you so, or, you know, or anything you want to and be saying maybe something that's not the truth. But a lot of times some of these national guys text me or ask me thinking that I know more than I do. And my basic reaction to them about the game prior to the game, I said, we're either going to beat the dog S-H-I something out of them or it's going to be fairly close. I said, we're a lot better, more talent, more depth. You know, I think they're going to have a hard time running the ball on it. So I said, it's either going to be a blowout or it's going to be close because we screw it up. And that's the
way to cover your bases, Coach.
I mean, that's what happened. That's their only chance. We had to lose to them. We had to go in there and make mistakes in the kicking game, have penalties.
Georgia had to beat themselves.
We had to lose the game.
That's nothing against Will or the team,
but – you know, realistically, we gave you a good scouting report on Bentley. He's 1-4 now, 1-5 against Georgia, South Clemson, and Florida. His supporting cast is not as good, that's for sure. But he's only thrown 2 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions going into that situation last week. And then he got 1 touchdown pass and another interception. What, we have 2 interceptions in that game?
Two, yes, sir.
So he said 3 touchdowns and 11 interceptions in 6 games against those people. So he's a good quarterback, but he needs some help. He had some drops. That happens, you know. But when you're in a tight game and you're going against a rival and you got a chance to make a play, you better make it. And they didn't make them early in the game when they could have made first downs. We made every play there early, and we showed some athleticism among some of our guys like Miko Hardeman. I mean, come on, man.
Miko could take off. To your point about mistakes, and it was fair, you did say last week that the only way Georgia's going to lose this game is if they beat themselves. And in that first half, be it conservative or just be it feeling them out, there was no way you expected the final score to be what it was. I mean, you were up going into – you're going up by 10 going into the half. 7 of that came on a pick 6, which, you know, you can't discount those. You know, I mean, it's still a score, but it's a rare score. But I go back to 2 plays. The interception Jake Fromm threw, I don't think South Carolina scored off that, did they?
I do not believe so.
So we answered the challenge there, and that was a broken route too. I think the guy should have kept going. And
I agree.
And our protection was a little shaky there in the first half.
So you have a situation where Georgia made a mistake that could, like we said, could hurt themselves and cost them the game. The defense rallies and says, "No, we're not going to let you score off that." And they set the tone right off the bat. Like you said, the kick in the end zone, you take Debo Samuel's return game out of the equation. 7 for 7 on touchbacks for Rodrigo Blankenship. SEC Special Teams Player of the Week, well-deserved. So you take away their special teams. I don't even say it's advantage. I don't know if it's advantage, but you take away that option.
Take away Debo's.
Take away Debo. They start targeting him on the first series, and you get a pick 6 off of it. So it's like, what are your 2 best weapons? Oh, you have 1 great wide receiver. And you have a great return game. Same guy. We're going to take him completely out of the game. So not only are we not going to beat ourselves, you know, you had 1 busted route that went for a touchdown on a freshman, you know, it happens. But the mistakes that we make, we're going to cover for them, and we're going to take away your best player. So when they came out in the second half, then Georgia just leaned on them. And my God, I mean, that's leaning. When you have Cade Mays and Isaiah Wilson.
Oh,
and,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, DeAndre Hill leaning on you. That's being leaned on. And they broke South Carolina. Yeah. Now, I'm trying to take but that was a team that was in better shape. And I think Kirby summed it up fantastically. He said, the hotter it got, the better I liked our chances. Because we've mentioned before in the past, you've talked about this a lot, Coach, when you see these players in the summer, how they look like Alabama, they look like Ohio State, they look, you know, size and speed-wise, they're gigantic, but Julian Rochester came into Georgia pushing 340, 350. He's down to 296. That's not a guy who's going to get – there's no cramping. You don't see these guys cramping on the sideline like we saw in the rest of college football.
Yeah.
They're popping in and out. There's fresh legs. And then in the second half, I was thinking, okay, here comes James Cook. He's going to run it on y'all. You didn't need him because you had Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift just gouging you. And then Brian Heron gets in. Three different running backs score. And then you bring in the fresh set of legs. So – fresh offense, fresh defense, fresh outside linebackers, fresh inside linebackers, fresh secondary guys. South Carolina just couldn't keep up.
Well, they don't have the depth that we have.
Right.
And that's going to be a situation as the season progresses. And I saw in that report you made about how we're going to set up against the run. And that's going to be important because we're not going to see that good at running teams. And how good are we going to be able to run against these physical defenses, too, when, you know, things don't go right. But, you know – and Jake Fromm's had a fabulous career up to this point, but I think he would tell you there's night and day between the way he played in the first half and the way he played in the second half.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
And you're not going to get that much from Jake as far as being up and down like that. He's usually going to be spot on about everything. And I think the main thing, again, gets back to play calling. When you're not getting a lot of first downs, it's hard to get much rhythm, you know, and we didn't do that. Then once we started using the whole – got making those first downs and rolling and hitting those screens and underneath stuff and just mashing them, it made a difference. But I just think we got to – everybody control – I'm talking from back in Kirby here. I think we got to control the brakes here about how great this team is until we really get tested. You know, I mean, that was a test as far as being on the road and playing a team. But, you know, that's not a top 25 caliber team we beat. You know that. I'm not taking anything away from the victory. I thought we did everything we had. It's not our fault who they got on the other side.
Yeah.
But we're going to play against at least two teams that are going to be comparable to us in LSU and Auburn, and we're going to play against a running team that can run the football and Tech. Their defense and special teams leave a little bit to be desired. But I think this team – to me, when I pump the brakes, I think I can let the brakes off because I can see the ceiling being, whether Michael Jordan sees it or not, it's going to be really, really high when these younger players start focusing in on what to do and get better and all. Our ceiling is a lot higher than maybe our team was last year at this time.
But they're not where they were last year.
Yeah, but last year at this time, our team was, just beating Notre Dame. We it was pretty obvious what we had.
Right.
But we had to prove it. This year, it's pretty obvious what we have, but I think some question marks are going to occur along the way. But let's just, whether we're the top two or three in the country, who knows? But we definitely should be talked about like that. But I think without question, over the next 4 or 5 years, it's going to be a lot of fun around here.
Well, we talk about, maybe pumping the brakes a little bit. It's easy to get caught up in the hype when all these people picked against you to win. We're picking Georgia not to cover.
Torrey Gurley's plastered all over the place.
And everyone's like, here's the second best team in the SEC. Will Muschamp is from the, he's very much like Kirby Smart and how he recruits, and they've gotten these kids. And I go back and I'm like, I don't want to get caught up in the recruiting numbers, even though that's why you go to UGASports.com to get all your recruiting news, 27 cents a day. But when we look back at how far Georgia has out-recruited everybody in the SEC East, to your point, Coach, the real tests are going to come when Georgia plays teams out of the West. I mean, you're going to go toe-to-toe with Auburn. That's going to be a nightmare. LSU is going to be tough. You're on the road.
It's going to be fun, though. I mean, getting Auburn over
fun
here.
For you.
I love it. But you make a point there about recruiting, and that's the bottom line. And the one thing – that I don't think fans know that one of the things we try to do on this broadcast is talk about what happens before the game. And one of the things that I used to do, and Kirby does it too, is he has certain personnel on his staff that are non-coaches that go in before the game and look at these other players and see, or is he as tall as what they list him, and what kind of girth does he have? How does that DB look physically can we run on him like we think we can from the standpoint of, oh, man, that guy's a lot stronger looking than we thought he was, or, you know, whatever it might be. But you analyze the players a little bit with the eyeball tests, and you know, guys like Marshall Malchow, who's really good personnel guy, he can compare him to us and say, look, you know, this guy really looks good on the hoof and all that, but they got to prove it. And the other thing is, you know, you see these guys out there with the stopwatches and they're watching the other team's kicker and you're timing the kicker to see if you can block a kick and how he does it and all that, all these different things. And if I was going to run a fake punt in the game and I knew that we were going to fake a punt, I would on purpose tell our snapper and our kicker before the game to really slow it down and act like you're at a slow time, you know what I mean? Because they can't really time you on the film like they can.
Sure.
So we would really throw out some bait there, you know, God, that guy's really slow. We can get after this guy. We might be able to block one. And then you pull their pants down and fake a punt on them like we did against Mississippi State down there. Dax Langley hit the O'Hines Ward over the middle. But fake punts are just – devastating to you. But you sometimes before the game too, you run a couple plays that you know, I just tell our guys, make up something in the huddle and run some kind of play and just run it just so they'll go back to the after the press box. They got people up there looking at you. They'll go in there, God, they lined up in three wides and ran a reverse to their tight end, you know, and you're in there and you're talking about it working before the game, but you throw out some base, you know. But you got to do all that. But I do feel like the what I'm pointing out is analyze the other team, and to me, if you just look at their guys on the hoof and scout them and get a scouting report, they just don't have as many players as we do. That's not Will's fault. I mean, they didn't recruit very well the last couple – and, Jake, you can allude to that. The last couple years, Spurrier there, Clemson's coming in there like a bang, bang, getting everybody, and their talent level is just not what it needs to be. And I just thought I'd pass out when I heard that guy from CBS say that he's picking them, and he picked Florida to play in the national championship game. You know, I mean, that's unbelievable, being the playoffs. But
I think Kentucky had something to say about that.
Kentucky had just like the saddle on an old horse. Their ankles were chapped.
I came away from the game really with two questions, I think. And Coach, I'll throw them to you. The performance of Cade Mays in relief of Andrew Thomas, how did you feel he performed in that scenario? And then, given what DeAndre Baker was able to do, keying in on Deebo Samuel all day and locking him down, where does this guy stand in terms of the conference and defensive backs?
Well, first of all, from the Cade Mays standpoint, the guy came in January. He was actually here for the bowl game, you know, Rose Bowl. He was at practicing that week. And the one thing Sam Pittman does that really impresses me is he multitasks these guys. He don't just work at right tackle, left tackle, right guard. They learn, except some of them don't play center. But the idea is they really work hard at being able to, if a guy goes down, is the next best player able to go in or just the guy behind him go in? You know what I mean? So in this conference, if you've got a guy that's a five-star player like Cade is going to be, he's already was in high school, it's hard to keep him on the bench if another guy is not as good as him, but he knows that position. So, I mean, that's where Sam has him. They have it set up where he was the next guy to go in. So if our right guard had gone down, if our right tackle or our left guard, he would probably been the next guy to go in.
Sure.
And he did a good job. And the thing that's so good about it to me, and I'm excited, is they go against good players in practice. So it wasn't like he was going in there and it was mission impossible. I mean, he's been having to block Rochester and Hayes and all these guys in practice because they go good against good all the time, and that's why they get better when the year. Now, I think a lot of teams do that now. You have to because of your schedule. But he was ready to go. It wasn't like it was some kind of deal where he hadn't prepared to be in there. So he was ready to go, and he took advantage of it. And we had so many guys in – critical roles in that game that came through for us. You know, a guy like Campbell having to play, and he did – you know, he got beat. Sure, everybody gets beat. But in your answer to Baker, I just think that when somebody challenges you like that and talks about you or disrespects you, whatever they said he didn't know him or all that, he really kind of got a burr in his saddle, and he just said – he said, it's like those guys when I used to play sometime in a tennis tournament. They said, well, I'm playing an old football player. You know, he's, you know, hey, if I can beat that guy 6-0, 6-0, I'm going to beat him. You know, I'm going to beat the dog out of him if I can. And that's what he did. He really got out there and just showed his ability to run press coverage, to tackle, to be physical. And he made himself a lot of money.
Yeah, yes. I think so as well.
Just because it's hard to get that kind of tape on somebody. You know what I mean? Where you're going against a player of that magnitude, and he's got all the skills. And as big as it was for Sony and Nick and those guys to come back, and Lowe and all those guys to come back last year, having this guy back in a young secondary, with the exception of Reed, really helps us, because now they're going to say, hey, we just can't throw on this side over here much. Let's go after these other guys. And I guarantee if they think they can go after Campbell, hey, let him throw. This guy's going to get some picks now. Yeah. He's going to react on the ball. And he made some mistakes. He's aggressive. But you can't shut him down cold. I mean, a good passer and everything like that. But that's my answer to those two. I'm a Cade Mays fan. I just think Cade and Hill and Salyer, I mean, it's not like that guy used to say in San Francisco, hey, well, street car comes by every 20 minutes. Hey, an offensive lineman like that do not come by that quickly. They got those kind of feet and got that kind of ability. You got three linemen there that are just – and then I think Condon and the other guy are going to be good linemen too, the center. I think they're going to be good. But
Warren Erickson. Jamari Salyer too. Yeah,
so, well, I said Salyer and Hill and Mays. And then you got Wilson, who's a redshirt freshman, you know. So I hope Notorio will come along. But I say pump the brakes, but I have a hard time pumping the brakes when I'm talking about Cade Mays. I mean, and just to think, the one thing, I got so much stuff, I can't even get it in here an hour. But just remember this. Look at our football team, the one that we put on the field the first two games. Take Cox off of it. Take Cade Mays off of it. Take Fields off of it. Take Anderson off of it. These four guys, take Cook off of it. These five guys were going to other places. Yep. And now they're in 306-06.
Yeah. Yep.
Very true.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And those are average five star, every one of them, a blue chip player that could walk in any conference, any school in America and have an impact.
Yep.
And they weren't coming here, and now they are. And that's what you need to watch out in this recruiting, because they're going to be stacked up like cordwood wanting to come here, and we got to decide who to take. But we're going to get some guys that are going to decommit and come to Georgia, I promise you. Some guys that we thought we might have gotten, I just see it happening.
Just talking about it, though, imagine if we told you preseason that in the second game against South Carolina – Andrew Thomas, your left tackle, goes down, and a freshman has to fill in. Before it was Cade Mays, you probably wouldn't have felt too good about that. And even with Cade Mays, it was still a question mark.
Yeah, well, people people here at Champions would be ordering like 47 things of banana pudding just to kind of drown their sorrows, as it were. But you're right. And I'm walking out, and because like I said, I was a little late getting out of the second half, and sure enough, first thing I see, Andrew Thomas is down. I'm like, what the heck? And I'm thinking, okay, who goes in for him? I thought Kendall Baker was coming in.
Yeah.
I saw Cade Mays out there. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And then I watched maybe three or four plays later. He took on two guys and ran downfield and hit a third. He blocked three people in one play. And I'm like, yeah, he's who we thought he was. Because here's the thing about Cade Mays. He's mean as a snake on the football field. He's a good old country boy. He likes to hit people. He's Brandon Cablana with size.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. That's the only best way I can describe him. But I'm going to go back to DeAndre Baker real quick.
He's not as far along at this point as Thomas was last year,
no,
though.
Sure.
I mean,
no.
Thomas is just an unbelievable skill guy that's got a little more height, a little more quickness. But Mays, to me, is a lot further along than most freshmen. Comparing the two, though, he's got a ways to go. And the other guy, Thomas, has had 12 or 13 games on him. But Mays, that game has got to be – lightning in a bottle for his confidence and knowing that he can. He's confident.
Because he went against. Yeah, he's.
But you
went
in you go in a critical situation in a big game, and they call on you, and you answer the phone, and you do what you're supposed to. That just the rest of his career, he's going to be ready to go.
Yeah, it's not like you went in against Austin Peay, you know, and it's not like you went in the last four snaps to finish out the game. He went in a critical moment in the game, answered well. It's funny, the last guy I remember doing that, you know, going in, was Ben Jones. They put Ben Jones in on his own 6-yard line. His first snap was inside the red zone, his red zone, and they had to drive the field, and they drove the field. Ben Jones did it, never blinked, never didn't bother. Guy was solid from there on out. But I'm going to go back to DeAndre
Baker. How about Jake Fromm last year?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, he was thrown to the Wolves 8 plays in.
So. Yeah, no kidding.
But, I mean, it's the same thing, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're right.
But that goes back to preparation from Kirby's standpoint and the staff that, you know, and part of the reason we have this show is to give you the inner workings of things. But I think the main thing to me is that our guys go against each other and do so much situational stuff that the games, you know, are just repetition of what you're seeing as far as the skill level in practice. It's easy to go out there against a scout team, except for maybe the fact that the scout team's running some things you haven't seen and make you look bad. But, you know, just physically you're going to dominate a bunch of guys that don't that aren't quite as good athletically. But we go good versus good. We train for other teams during the week, even though we got this team. I mean, I like that. I think you're not looking ahead, but, I mean, by the time you play Tech, you've seen them all year. By the time you play Florida, you've seen them all year. And it's just it's a good way of coaching, I think. I mean, you don't just sit back and hope that you're going to get better. The only way to do it is work.
Somebody had to pay for the preparation, as Jake Fromm said.
Speaking of preparation, I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Academia Brewing Company. When you get a chance, swing out there for the game this week. Last week, that was the official UGA alumni watching party for in Athens. A lot of people went out and watched the South Carolina game. They had a lot of fun. I hope everybody enjoyed drinking out there as much as they did. But this week, if you don't have a ticket, swing by there. You can watch the Middle Tennessee State game on their two giant screens. And if you are going, you can actually swing by and pick up a couple crowlers like we have them here. I had to spin those around so you could see what the crowlers look like. Take those to your tailgate. You know, it's not a growler. It's a can. It's a growler.
Yeah, you
growler.
Knock back. You take three of those to your tailgate, though. You're going to be all right.
Well, I'm hoping you're taking it for a few friends, you know. Now, me, I could finish one. You know, I could drink that IQ IPA. I mean, my honey blonde, you got the IQ.
Well, obviously, I can drink that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so I could drink them both. But I'm saying if we had those, it'd be fantastic. So if you get a chance, swing out there to watch the game this Saturday or get your tailgating supplies. And if you want those South Carolina commemorative game pints, the glasses that have the South Carolina thing on it for the game last week, they're $5 in their retail loft. And they're going to have music twice this week. Thursday night, they're going to have Cheyenne Rose on stage at 7. And Friday night, they're going to bring back the blues rock band Mississippi John Dude and Voodoo Panther at 8 o'clock.
Voodoo Panther.
Voodoo.
I like that.
So swing out to
what's the number one hit for Voodoo Panther?
60% of the time, it works every time.
Is that what it is?
No. We got some questions rolling in here.
Get off the stove, Grandma. You told her riding the range.
I do want to jump into some of these because we got some good
ones
coming in. This is kind of a two-parter. A lot of people asking any concern for either of you guys regarding the lack of pressure and sacks that we've seen thus far from the Georgia front seven on defense? Any concerns about the penetration they're getting in the backfield?
Go ahead there.
No, I don't think so. And I was. I mean, like, I mentioned it in my 3-2-1 last week that, you know, I didn't see any pressure. And then when I didn't see it this week, knowing you got to get to a guy like Jake Bentley, my question last week was, is it by design? I mean, was it scheme? Are you lining up? Because I figure if Georgia wanted to, they could have got to the Austin Peay guy. Or are you still trying to replace Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter? So my question was, is it scheme or is it inexperience or inability? This week or this, you know, against Saturday, I'm like, you got to get to Jake Bentley. And they didn't. And now Austin Peay, they're getting the ball out immediately.
Yeah.
But Jake Bentley sat back there and Georgia did not get to him very often. And then Kirby Smart was asked about it in the press conference. He said, look, we're taking away the run. I think they ran, 60-something yards? And he says, we're taking away the run first. You can't always have everybody lined up to take away the run and get pressure on the quarterback. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. I think that they were more concerned about that than they were. And to Coach's point, when you have two five-star outside linebackers, two are lightning fast, and, you know, Brent Cox and Adam Anderson, and we saw DeAndre Walker all over the place. He even got hurt. He comes back into the game. You know, Walter Grant was, you know, there a couple times as well. But I'm like, by scheme, it didn't look like they were going after him. So I think it's a situation where Georgia can. They just didn't. That wasn't what they were planning to do. They weren't trying to get to him as much. So that's just my take on it. But because, in other words, I cannot see any foreseeable way where Georgia just said, oh, yeah, we can't get to him. No, I think they could.
Well, what happens is a lot of times is when you say scheme, it has to do with how are they trying to attack you. Well, they're first of all, lining up with no backs early in the game. So it is, you're not near as worried about the run with Bentley back there by himself. But they are in a position where they can get rid of the ball quickly to a lot of different receivers. You saw them throw over the middle and attack our backers a little bit, which, you know, obviously you're going to do that. But I think the main thing for our defense right now is we have the packages, we have the rushes, we have the pressures. But if you're winning in the game and you get out a 14-point lead, and the closest they ever got was 10 points, the only way they can get you is hit something deep on you. And once you go to a lot of pressure, then you lose the effect of a safety over the top or a JoJo and the guy inside, outside with a linebacker on a tight end or whatever it might be. Once you get to 5- and 6-man pressures, then you're going to have to use some different coverages. And we were pretty content on jamming these guys, playing 5 under man, playing 2 deep, different kinds of looks with our back end. So you're robbing Peter to pay Paul there if you're worried about pass rush, when you really know that if you can defend them, which that's what we were doing, they really didn't hit any deep balls on us except for the one. So I think overall that's a concern, but it's not something that we won't be able to do. But I would say this about our packages, though, which I would hope that the fans understand. They're, you know, you look at those – you had a deal today on your site where it listed the number of players that played in the game, and we do a lot of substituting, and the guys get rest because of the different reps they get. But the different packages we have allows these guys to rest based on what they want to get out of a package. So we might have a deal where a couple of linemen come out of the game where we got an extra couple pass rushers in there, or we might have a couple of pass rushers come out and put a couple extra linemen in to stop the run. You know what I mean? So we got different ways to sub within our packages that accentuate the skill level of these guys. It's kind of like an offense going to 2 tight ends and a lead blocker on short yardage. We got all those different kind of capabilities with our coverages. We can go from 4 DBs to 5 to 6, and when we do that, we can put a couple pass rushers in. So when we get to that situation where, like Saturday, we're going to see a lot of quick passes, a lot of screens, a lot of stuff like that. So we'll be playing 5 and 6 DBs, and I think we'll get some good vertical pressure on this kid Saturday.
Let me go with an immediate follow-up on that question, because we had a couple of people mention any concern, and you mentioned early on in the show the little shaky in the pass protection early on. Jake Fromm getting a little bit rushed on a couple of those. Had a couple of – I think he was sacked a couple of times, at least once I can remember for sure. Any concerns as far as that goes?
Yeah, I'm concerned about that because that's not our MO. We're not a third down passing team. We never will be. I mean, that's just not the way we are. I mean, I wouldn't say never,
sure,
but I'm just saying we're a run first, play action, screen, RPO team. We're not a team that sets up the block for the pass. Now, we've got some third down passes where we help people out, and our tight end missed a couple guys a couple times, you know, on pass rush where he was forced to block an inside rusher. But I think the main thing for us to understand is it can be a concern for us because, you know, but I'd a whole lot rather be concerned about that and say, hey, can't we run the ball or can't we play action pass? So there comes a point where every team's got to be able to throw it when the other team knows you are. And that's not a strength of our pass protection. It's not a strength of Jake's. I mean, he's not a guy that threads the needle on a lot of underneath inside routes. You know, I mean, he is what he is, which you wouldn't trade anybody for him for that. He knows what.
Yeah.
But that's just – everybody can't be perfect, you know. I mean, that's –
Absolutely.
Different quarterbacks have different strengths. And, And he just like anybody, and I would do the same with any quarterback I've ever had, when you're running against your own defense and it's 7-on-7, our defense plays good against our team because they know all the plays. They don't have to worry about runs or anything like that, but it makes your quarterback better going against your own defense.
I go back to what Kirby Smart said when in his first press conference, said that we need to be able to run the ball when everybody in the stands knows we're going to be able to run it. And there are times it's 3rd and 2, and
right.
You know, you don't want to go to a pass play. You're going to line up and run it, and so that's his priority. It makes sense. It worked at Alabama. It's working at Georgia. So,
and it didn't work against Vanderbilt. If we could have run the ball right there, we would have won the game. And that's what they worked on the whole spring and summer of 3rd and short, and we got a lot better at it, you know, between last year and 2 years ago and all. And,
yeah.
Excuse me for interrupting there, but that's the point.
Yeah. So that's exactly what we saw. And I do worry that – I mean, I'd like for Jake Fromm to be able to sit in there and have 10 minutes to throw the ball. You know, he's got all those weapons on offense, but it's not like they're not getting their yards, because you don't have to sit in there forever to get the ball to Mecole Hardman and have him do something with it. So you got some strengths there when it comes to your receivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, everybody talks about – that's the thing that happens there. You look at our receiver core – and they talk about all the weapons, but you look at Ole Miss receiver core, you look at South Carolina's receiving core, you look at Alabama's receiving core, you know, all around the country, everybody's got these kind of players, so let's don't get too fired up about we're not getting the ball to these guys. I mean, the same thing with backs. Have you seen those backs that Alabama has?
Yeah.
I mean, so we got good players and we got great players, but we got to understand that just because you have a lot of them doesn't mean that it's just overwhelming that you're going to dominate every team you play. But, I mean, there's a lot of teams that most of these guys on our team could play for, but there's some teams that they couldn't, you know. I mean, that's just the way it is with every team in the country.
No, Coach, come on. Everybody on the Georgia squad would start everywhere else in the country. You know that.
Well, I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get into hey, Jim Donnan said, but I wouldn't trade our team or our coach for any other.
No, I
like what we're doing, and I think our potential over the next couple years with these young players that we have is going to be mamma mia.
Speaking of trading, if you need to trade your vehicle in.
If you need to trade your vehicle in, swing by Athens Ford. I got the September 2018 deals, and I want to tell you all about a couple of these real quick. If you need the Ford Escape, 2018 Ford Escape, right now you can get that for under $2,000. They have a special price. It's $1,999.5. So $5 under $20,000, or you can get 0% financing for 60 months for qualified buyers. You pick. You can get it for under $20,000, or you get 0% financing. Ford Escape is a little bit smaller than the Explorer, but not by much. It's a fantastic vehicle. I looked at one the other day. I had to decide between it and the Explorer. The Escape is fantastic if you have kids or got more than two people in your family. If you want that little Eco Sport, you can get it for $18.99. So it's under $19,000 or 0.9% APR financing for 60 months. If you're broke like Jake, because I don't pay him enough, you can get a brand new 2018 Ford Focus for less than $14,000.
Outstanding.
$13,999.
He just told you he didn't pay you enough.
0% APR. He's not worth it. No. That's why I'm telling everybody, sign up for UGASports.com. 27 cents a day. For your 27 cents a day, we can keep Jake in clothes and
get
food.
Get him a.
Now, if you're like me and you also love that Ford F-150, check this out. You can get it right now for the 2018s. For the XLT 302A crew cab, $14,000 off, or 0% APR financing for 72 months for qualified buyers. So either $14,000 off or 0% financing. That's pretty impressive. And, of course, if you want that 2018 Super Duty, because I know a lot of you folks out there could use that, it is now $9,000 off. So get a chance. Swing by Athens Ford. It is the home of the lifetime powertrain warranty. You can get that on a new or a pre-owned vehicle under 80,000 miles. So to your point about trading in one, if you want to trade in one, you can get another used vehicle or one of their certified pre-owned that goes through 172-point inspection like the one I just bought. You can get it for the lifetime powertrain warranty only at Athens Ford. Here in Athens. And big Georgia fans, I mean, there's probably nobody screaming their heads off more about the success Georgia had on Saturday than the folks at Athens Ford. They're not just in Athens. They are of Athens, and they love the Dogs.
How'd that ride hold up going over there the other day?
It was very comfortable.
Ask the guy in the back seat.
Yeah, it was very comfortable.
Were you sleeping?
I did sleep a little bit, actually. And that second row leans. The second row leans back. We put the seats down. I kicked my feet up. It was nice.
Any tickets?
It's all black, man. We were hiding and flying.
Daisuke Terakami here, I thought a very interesting point. Not something I've heard a lot of people talk about, but it is true, and I think it bears saying. He says, I thought it was very impressive. We had zero false starts or offside penalties this week. Crowd had zero impact on focus aside from one delay of game penalty.
That's a good call. That's
a good call by him. And I think the one thing about delay of game penalty is something that all teams need to understand and the fans need. They got a different MO this year after – the kick on the kickoff, the 42nd, you know, let's say the guy kicks it out of the end zone or it goes out of bounds or whatever it might be, they start the clock quicker than they used to. So you can't get over on the sideline and start, hey, let's go, we get a first down, do all that. I mean, you got to get out there and get going. And we got caught by that, quicker thing. And it's a good – it didn't hurt us, I mean, you know, over in the game, but it's a good thing to remind everybody of. That, you know, hey, it's time to get – once the ball goes in the end zone, let's get out there and get going. But the other thing is the indoor building helps us there and the outdoor noise factor. We have some big – I mean, some really loud noise in there to practice with. And we use the silent count, you know, where Jake or Justin will use the silent count. And we use different kinds of – play, you know, use the voice inflection, but we use the hand clap, all those different things. But that's really good sign by this guy saying that. What was his name?
Daisuke.
That was good because it just shows you the kind of discipline we had. And we didn't have any really major penalties on doing the same thing, jumping offside on defense, but we did have a couple pass interference. And you're going to have those when you're playing man coverage and you're pressing a guy, and it's all – based on the way the refs are calling it. And
I did like DeAndre Baker's sling to the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know,
like, Kirby, if I'm going to call for this, I'm going to throw you to the dirt.
Kirby mentioned, though, even in the press conference after the game, that, you know, he was like, look, if you play the way that we want to play, you're going to incur some penalties. Yeah. It's just a side effect of it. If you're going to play this physically and this hard, it's going to happen.
As long as you're not getting the dead ball fouls and the blocking the backs or just
– hitting out of bounds.
Yeah, those are things you just don't see from us.
Now, this is a very interesting question here because Georgia can't be looking ahead, but we sure can.
Oh, yeah.
And that is from our guy Dylan Brooks, who tunes in very faithfully. Thank you, Dylan, for sending this in. He said, so, Georgia's next true test is Auburn, right?
Oh, wow. Wow.
I tell you, Auburn has a test this weekend. I'm telling you this right now. We're going over there to the Tigers with the Tigers, and we're going to get after their butt because it's time for somebody to beat these guys. They won 13 straight games over there against in that stadium there, Jordan-Hare. Five against ranked teams, and we're ranked, so they better get ready for the Tigers. Go Tigers!
I mean, you're going to be able, I think, probably to get a good sense of which of those teams is going to be your bigger problem. Absolutely. Based on this weekend. So you know, it's not like you're going to have to sit there and wring hands about it. You're going to get a chance very early on in the season to find out, you know, is LSU as good as they looked against Miami? Is Auburn, you know, going to be giving Alabama the run for the SEC West again?
Yes.
You know, it's Roddy's over here just giving it away. But
what are you saying? Right?
I'm saying LSU looked good against Miami. I think they looked better than they actually are, and I think Auburn is going to give Alabama all kinds of hell.
Here's the thing that I think about LSU. They got pennies from heaven when they picked up that quarterback, Joe Burrow. He's a lot like Jake from the standpoint he can run the show. He's the coach on the field. And they weren't getting those kind of nothing against the quarterbacks they had. They weren't getting a lot of the good decisions from their quarterback. They haven't had but three turnovers in the last eight games. Going back to last year they only had eight turnovers in the whole season, so they protect the ball, they don't beat themselves, and they got a pretty good kicking game. They got a transfer in, the place kicker from some small school that what's the name of that school that transfer from LSU came in. Let's get that for us, Dave. Where was?
No. The kicker.
The kicker. They got a kicker from some D3 school, but he's strong. I mean, you talk about a team that needs a kicker now. How about Nick? That guy missed.
Oh my God!
He missed two extra points.
Is that kid on scholarship?
No, he's
not long.
I mean, and especially when the lines are like so many points, you can't give up those single points. I like LSU to challenge Auburn. Auburn's not been a team that, you know, when they get behind, they've had a hard time winning the last few games. But when they get ahead, boy, and they get it home, and we were there last year when they played us. I mean, they got it rolling there.
They do what Georgia does. They just lay on the gas and kill you.
Robert Barnes says, I'm looking forward to seeing how good Auburn's offensive line is this week. And I think that that's a good point. I think
they've lost some good linemen, and they've had some linemen get hurt this year. But they got a quarterback over there that's the real deal. Their running game's going to be a question mark, and their pass defense, to me, their front seven's good, but their back end is – Where is he from?
Assumption.
Well, I assume that.
we have a
Assumption. Where is that?
Assumption College.
Is that in Ohio?
Let's see. Assumption College.
What's their nickname?
Is in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Worcester?
Yeah.
What's their nickname?
They are
the Lobsters?
Let's
see. Assumption College what?
The Greyhounds of Assumption College.
Hey, that kid, that was good recruiting.
Skittish and loyal, I guess. Yeah. I won't say it's breaking
news. Thanks a lot, Dave.
But Kirby Smart just put out a tweet with the Players of the Week, Game 2 Players of the Week. On offense, you had Mecole Hardman, Tyler Simmons, and Riley Ridley, which is interesting considering that
all three wide receivers, but they must have blocked great.
I was about to say, because it's not like you saw Riley Ridley or Tyler Simmons making huge plays with the ball in their hands, but, man, two big blocks from Tyler Simmons. He had that busted route.
Was he offside or not?
He was not offside.
Okay.
He was onside. And then when it comes to defense, you had Richard LeCount, which very well deserved there, led the team in tackles. Juwan Taylor, who had a great game.
Saved the goal line fumble.
He scored. And then Tyler Clark, your guy in the middle, locking up. And two more guys.
Rod had to be special teams, wasn't he?
Rodrigo Blankenship and Walter Grant.
Yeah, Walker's good. Let me just point out this about Richard LeCount. I know you guys go out there to practice, and I don't go around there much, but you're talking about Kirby staying on him. There's a great example. This guy of reacting to coaching, not getting his butt up on his shoulders and worried about, he wants to be better. He's not a big guy, but he's very cerebral and he's very athletic, and he's around the football. You saw that play almost made on the intercept, but he made a lot of good tackles for free safety. We know what we got in Reed back there. So you got two good tackling safeties. That's going to eliminate a lot of big plays, okay? Then Tyler Clark up front started to play with the kind of – he looks good and how do you transpose that to making plays? He was around and knocking people around and setting up things, and I was glad to see him make those kind of plays. And we saw Walker make some really good plays there, off the edge. And who was the third guy on defense?
Juwan Taylor.
I mean, that's an impossible situation for our linebackers. Everything they do is compared to Roquan last year. But, I mean, he has been salty all fall and spring, and he really is around the ball. And, Monty Rice and Patrick and Crowder, those are good, solid players that play better with everybody else out there. But a very heady player and a good athlete. And it's nice to be singled out like that by the staff to have three wide receivers be the players of the game in a game where he didn't really throw the ball much.
Yeah. Kamel Oz with a question here on recruiting. He says, 2020 wide receiver class of Javon Baker, Jermaine Burton, Rico Powers, and Jeremiah Johnson, which is an awesome name, by the way. He's from Clinch County. Is that realistic now that Demond Demas has committed to A&M? Demond Demas, for those of you not following, 5-star, very interested in Georgia, has visited Georgia a couple of times, committed to A&M over the weekend. A bit of a surprise for the
Aggies.
Where
was he from?
He is from Texas, so in that regard, it's not a huge surprise. But, it seemed like a guy who was going to take his time, didn't really seem like he was ready to commit.
I'm going to say to that, Kamel, right now I like your chances with Burton and Powers Jr. Johnson and Baker still got to get their offer from Georgia. But those other two guys, I think if Georgia wants them, I think they'll get them, especially Powers. I feel very strongly about where they stand with him.
And you hear, and here's the thing about A&M, too. You make that kind of statement there, and obviously that kid probably was there for that game.
Yes, he was.
And he sees a quarterback coming back, a guy like Mond that can jump around and throw the ball, and they don't have a lot of receivers there. I mean, so, you know, they had to be a big night for them in recruiting to play a nationally ranked team there in front of 110,000 people. So, and I think we'll have a big recruiting weekend this week. I like when you play at night from that standpoint because the kids can get here. The coaches can work them over a lot. I don't mean work them. can talk to them a lot more in the afternoon, you know, and give them a lot of attention. You know what I mean? Compared to starting at 12 o'clock, don't you think, Jake?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. You get all day to spend with them. So that's, you know, some of those guys, it'll give some guys, you know, from further away more time to make it into town to come to see the game. It's a win-win in that regard, I think.
Yeah, if you're playing Friday night down in South Georgia or over in Alabama or North
Mississippi,
Carolina.
Mississippi, yeah.
And you're like, hey, I want to go to the Georgia game. What time is it? Noon.
Right.
You're going to drive all night to get in the hell no. So,
nah.
So having that late game is good for Georgia. And we found out that not that this one affects recruiting, but speaking of noon games, it's not going to help Missouri that
started at 11 o'clock.
Georgia plays at 11 o'clock out there next week. So that's brutal. Speaking of
– you talking about a bad plan one time. We played Kansas State when I was at Missouri at 11 o'clock on that whatever broadcasting network that was in 1982. And for some reason, we stayed in Topeka, Kansas, instead of staying in Manhattan or anywhere close, which is about 65 miles there. So we got to be over there. I mean, we ate the pregame meal like at midnight.
We ate it at
7 instead of – I mean, you're supposed to eat at 7, but we ate at 6. So our kids got up at 5 o'clock. I mean,
wow. Did they have the hidden punter in under the Willie the Wildcat mask?
Hey, seriously now, has anybody looked at Willie the Wildcat? He's got the pants on. I saw him after the show last week. Did you see Willie against Mississippi State? He was over there in his pants. I mean, that was one of the most brilliant tactician moves any coach's ever made, having your kicker have a pair of pants on.
You know when you need to bring in Matt Landers or somebody like that?
Yeah, sure.
If they could have wanted to go 71 guys.
That would be
guys.
An oddly large, hairy dog.
And that
hairy dog looks gigantic. He's real lanky.
Some of these people that see me out say, hey, why don't you tell stories and stuff like that? Like you used to. I'm just going to tell you one story about this one guy at Manhattan. When they used to have a deal where they had these foster parents. So if a guy came into school, you were their family away from home. So if you're from Florida, you know, you had somebody you could go eat and do all that. And I don't know if they gave him money or what they did. But they had this guy named L.J. Brown, who was a really good back. And they played against – he was a freshman, and they were playing against the Kansas Jayhawks in a JV game over there. And so LJ goes over and rushes for 120 yards, but the coach played him under an assumed name because he didn't want him to lose any eligibility. So seriously, played him under assumed name. So after the game, they have WIBW in Topeka, Channel 13, is talking about, hey, the Kansas State JV's whipped up on KU today, and running back Roddy Nabolski, or whatever his name is, you know, Sam, whatever it might be, had a great game. You know, he had 120-some yards. Well, this foster parent goes crazy, calls up over, that wasn't so-and-so, that was LJ Brown.
Oh, no.
So he lost your eligibility.
Oh, brutal. Man, Kansas State got the tricks.
Hey, they were playing some. They used to have a deal where a guy would come in there, instead of giving him a scholarship, they give him a bus ticket and they give him a tryout. And if he made it, they gave him a scholarship. If not, they gave him a bus ticket home during tour days.
Which one of these pieces of paper are you going to earn today, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, brutal.
That's harsh.
Yeah, it was.
Speaking of harsh, if I find out you went and used anybody besides Aaron Overhead Doors to replace your garage door or to fix your garage door or your garage door opener, we're going to have words because Aaron Overhead Doors is a big sponsor of the show. They're a big sponsor of our website, ugasports.com. And I went by there Friday to grab their sign. I got to get it worked up here on the main table here in a bit. But they, again, huge Georgia fans, And having my first job was in the overhead door industry. I worked for a kind of a well-known place. And
really?
Yeah. I was in a 14 years old driving.
Of course. Why not?
Yeah. Driving up around from Flowery Branch to Beaver Ruin Road. And yeah, 14 to work in a warehouse sorting garage door springs. That was fun. But I can tell you, having gone out this past Friday to swing by the Aaron Overhead Doors place, they're actually moving to a bigger facility. And I was talking to them about this. Look at your average house. You have this giant garage door on it. Most of them are ugly.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's a third of your house, a third of your frontage, and there's just these, you know, four panels. Maybe it has glass. Some even still have the sunburst glass in it from the 70s. They have garage doors that are beautiful. It makes your house look fantastic. It'll up the value of your house. So swing out by Aaron Overhead Doors. Check out their website. They have all sorts of awards for customer service. They actually have employees. They don't use contractors. So there's not a situation where you're calling them and then they're calling somebody that, you know, is standing outside, you know, with his truck. You know, he probably lives in it and he's going to come into your house and fix your garage door half-assed. No, these guys actually have employees that they take care of. You know, they work there and they do training year-round. So.
Just dudes off the street.
Well, I'm just saying there are a lot of places when you deal with this, they call a contractor. So all they're doing is just taking your money and subcontracting somebody else. That's not the situation with Aaron Overhead Doors, so you get a chance to swing out to them. And again, I want to mention EuroPie. I went out there and had lunch the other day, had an Academia beer there. The EuroPie franchise, I talked to Drew French the other day. They're up to 58 locations. They're going to be opening more. And if you really – and again, I can tell you, it's a great place to eat. Fantastic sandwiches, fantastic pizza. You walk in, they actually make the pizza the exact way you want it done. You pick your dough, you pick your sauce, you pick all your toppings. You know, what drives me crazy is going to a pizza place and it's like, okay, if you get this one, then each additional topping's $1.50 or $2. They don't do that.
They'll put everything on it if
they
you
have
want.
50 I mean, things up there, and you want them all on there, go nuts. So they'll put anything on there you want. But what I would like to see in this fantastic economy that we're in right now is somebody from our show, made a lot of somebody's, open up a couple of EuroPie franchises and then thank us later.
Y'all in the comments, get together.
Yeah.
Coordinate.
Yeah, every time I've just had
get a GoFundMe for
EuroPie.
You yeah. Put it all under the UGA.
Yeah, network. That's what we need is our own UGA Sports EuroPie. That would be fantastic. Anyway, just want to pop those in there. Let's hit a couple more questions
all
before
right. yeah,
we run out of time.
So definitely want to touch on one. And Coach, we've been doing this since before the first game. Want to continue the tradition this week. This is a soon-to-be sponsored, so if you're thinking about sponsoring the podcast, you could sponsor this one maybe. But
Soon
to be sponsored, I hope. Mouthwatering player of the week headed into Middle Tennessee State. That was a great call on Kirby Smart because he definitely had the guys ready to go last week. Who's going to be your mouthwatering player of the week at Middle Tennessee State?
Yeah, I think Swift's going to be just showing his taillights this week. I think he'll just make a lot of big plays in the open field. Probably over 100 yards rushing, 50 yards passing. I look for Swift to have a monumental game this week.
All right.
Then defensively, I think we're going to see a kind of a coming out party for Campbell. I think they're going to probably think they can go after him. I think he'll make a lot of big plays too.
All right. I like it. I like the picks. Christopher Smith.
Tay Crowder.
Tay Crowder. All right.
Going off the board.
Okay. All right. All right. I like Tyler Simmons this week. I don't know why. I just kind of get a feeling. I think that he's been blocking well enough that he's going to be on the field a lot. And he's just due up. You know, he's due for a –
Give him that jet sweep.
That's right. That's
Give
right.
him the jet sweep. Now, nothing
he
against,
got one the other day.
Yeah, nothing against Demetrius Robertson, but I love him on that jet sweep. Stanley would run it too. I'd like to see him get a shot at it. But I tell you, when that guy hits and he leans, because we saw him on the track, when he leans in to make that edge, he is not up against the sideline. He is – If your outside receiver blocks that cornerback a little bit, he's going to cut in that inside gap, and he is gone.
All right. We're going to wrap the show on this question. I think that this is a very good one because it was something Roddy and I discussed pregame. Christopher Smith wants to know your thoughts on this, Coach. He says, what do you think about so many true freshmen on that travel roster? What does that say about that recruiting class? There were 13 scholarship freshmen that traveled to South Carolina this past week.
Just goes to show you everybody was right about rating them, you know what I mean? You can have that many good players come in on a team that's nationally ranked and still be able to get on the field. it goes to show you the competition we have and the fact that he will reward you if you got the ability. So we're not going out on a limb talking about those guys. And there's several more that are going to get in there. We didn't get to see a lot of Walker or Tindall or anything like that. You're going to see these guys surface too as the year goes out, goes along. So you just can't make up talent like that. And just remember this about experience. You experience is great, but talent precedes it every day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, over half of the class.
That's why you guys are on there. You got the talent. You mean, you know, not a lot of experience behind the
I'm
mic.
I'm just here for the good looks.
But I tell you, I want to give you guys a little credit, too. Post-game show, I was ready to hear and just bust you both about, you know, your ability to do the show, but I thought it was very good.
Well, it would be better always. Better with Donovan.
I'm just saying. I'm not bringing me into it.
No, I am.
I'm just saying that you guys covered the game like a bunch of pros. You talked about what happened in the game, and I thought it was good. I'm trying to be critical and find something wrong with it. But I thought, and if it was something wrong, I'd tell you, because the worst thing you can do, Attila the Hun said this, false praise is not good. Do not give a Hun false praise because he's going to go into battle confident he's not that good. Hey, man, you can kill that guy. You can plunge him. You can do all that thing. But you guys are stronger than three rows of wild onions.
All right. Oh, wow. I'll take it.
and with that, speaking of three, if you get a chance, go by UGASports.com this morning. We have a brand new 3-2-1 report. There's some good tidbits in there that you might like. Check out we have a interview with Dustin Royston, the former Georgia fullback.
What's he coaching, D-line up there?
He's coaching defensive line at Middle Tennessee State, one of the great guys come through the University of Georgia.
Let me give a shout-out to Aiden Black, played over here at Athens Academy, went up there and walked on at Middle Tennessee and got his knee hurt, but he's helping the staff out a little bit. As a graduate assistant, a nice guy, going to be a great, great employee for somebody, great family, and shout out to Aiden Black.
Awesome.
So we got that. We have the snap count. We have partnered with Pro Football Focus. We have grades for each Georgia player, plus their snap count, so you can find out who was on the field when and how many snaps they played versus a run versus a pass. So there's some great analytics stuff at UGASports.com right now, so when you get a chance, check it out. And we will see you next week. Tuesday at noon, and we will talk about the game against Middle Tennessee State and look ahead to Missouri. Take care.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.